Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. Special Saturday edition here, speaking with Eric Nahlin, publisher of InsideTexas.com, your source for Texas sports and recruiting news. O'Shawn Mathis, talented transfer defensive end from TCU, decides today or announces today he's going to Nebraska. What do you make of it, Eric?
I mean, it's a bummer for the staff. Of course, they're going to have to kind of regroup and reassess what they want to do. But I think they're going to have to decide that they're going in or go with the end of the season with the plan that they've got all their pieces on the line, and they're probably not going to add any more. You know, they got the May 1st deadline looming. Maybe they can comb the dregs of JUCO. Who knows? But I don't think it's likely that they'll add somebody. They had a couple of losses via the portal. That was more to make room for, you know, the future class and O'Shawn Mathis if they got him. But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do schematically to make up for it. And we've got some ideas which direction they're going. They probably told us a little bit throughout spring ball. I think they did practice for weeks on end as if Mathis wouldn't be there, even though I think they expected him for most of it. I think, you know, Bobby, based on our information, it seemed like things kind of started to shift a week or two ago. Our best sources on it still thought they were in it late, but you just never know with these portal recruitments. They can go either way pretty quick.
Yeah, you and I were going at this from different directions. Jerry Hamilton, Justin, we all worked it from different angles. We were told by sources at TCU, point blank, that he was wanting to pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. Texas asked him to stand up a little bit sometimes in that defense and try to play a little bit in space. And I think ultimately that was a decision point. The idea that NIL, that Nebraska's NIL power or what have you was insurmountable or something that Texas couldn't match, I know firsthand is not true. The reality of it is that I think he just got out-recruited by Nebraska. Texas got out-recruited here by Nebraska. Nebraska convinced Mathis that he should just continue to be hand in the dirt kind of guy and get after the quarterback, whereas Texas was asking him for a slightly different position. It's your understanding, and you and I, I've thought about this. It's your understanding Texas slightly altered its approach in recruiting somewhat late in the game as a reaction to that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that was our tell that Nebraska was winning the narrative on how he should play, and they were winning the recruitment. You know, whenever you start hearing guys saying what you know the other school is pitching, it's probably one of the only reasons I'll read recruit quotes is to see what they're saying. If it sounds like something I'd be saying if I was a coach at A&M, you know, Terry Price used to be a master of that at A&M going up against, Oscar Giles at Texas, you know, like, oh, you know, I know I can't get in the league if I'm in a three-man front, I got to be in a four-man front. You know, Terry Price is winning the narrative there. And so it sounded to me like Nebraska was and Texas altered, but it seems like it was too late. Well, obviously it was too late.
Yeah. Mathis, a big hit to the Longhorns. One of several things that happened in the portal, and I want to get to the rest of the portal. But first, what do you think that does to the Texas depth chart? As you see it going into fall, now that we're already through spring, obviously Baron Sorrell and Justice Finkley were 1-2 coming out of the spring at that spot. I guess they stay the same. You think Texas works more three down linemen? I know you suggested Mora Ojomo might should move to that spot. What are the options that you think the Texas staff is kind of working through right now?
Well, you have an abundance of interior players and you know, a dearth of exterior players on the edge. So you've got to move Ojomo. I thought that Ian Boyd and I were talking past each other, and that's exactly the case. So he's kind of in agreement with me that Ojomo should play that role that Alfred Collins played last year when Jacoby Jones went down. And that'll put Collins with the first team. And then you still got Coburn, Byron Murphy, Trevondre Sweat, Vernon Broughton's coming on and will be ready to play snaps more so than last year. And then so you have Ojemo and then Baron Sorrell. Now, the problem is, and I agree with Ian Boyd on that, is, you know, where's the pass rush going to come from? Ojemo's not going to be a plus pass rusher, but he's going to make it very hard to run the ball on him. So they're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to probably, they're going to have a really good sub package for those third down passing situations. And they're going to have to be able to sub that on with regularity, because they're not going to get much pass rush on third and long with that base group.
Yeah, I think that this is what Texas needed. And for the first time, really, I think Texas kind of struck out a little bit in the portal. They'd been on such a roll, starting with Quinn Ewers and Ryan Watts, around signing day in December. Then they pry Isaiah Nayor away from not necessarily Wyoming. He's already in the portal, but away from Tennessee.
Yep.
That was a huge one. Adding Jahleel Billingsley and Ajay Hall here in the last month or so, or couple months, I guess. Billingsley came in after the national championship, and then Hall recently. This is the first kind of real true setback where we saw Texas say, hey, I really want this guy, and did not come away with him.
Yeah, you know, with Nayor, that was right after they missed on Mario Williams. So they had an excellent fallback plan. You know, if USC gets Jordan Addison, Nayor's going to have a bigger year than Mario Williams next year. I bet a lot of money on that. So in this case, there's just not that fallback plan. And against, of course, they're up against that May 1st deadline where players who go into the portal will be eligible next year. So, yeah, it's a little bit different. They're going to have to get more creative with the pass rush. It's not the end of the world. It's still the year before the year. And that means the younger guys that they're going to need two seasons from now are going to get more development time on the field this year than they would have with O'Shawn Mathis. Now, I'm not saying that's ideal. I'm not trying to sell you rainbows, but I do believe in silver linings, and that's going to be one of them.
Longhorns, you mentioned that May 1st deadline. In the last 72, 96 hours, whatever it is, Longhorns have had six players enter the portal. There still could be more today or tomorrow, right? Is my understanding. But those six players, Myron Warren, defensive lineman, I think he's a redshirt sophomore out of Manny, Louisiana, maybe a redshirt junior. Jaden Hullaby, a linebacker / running back. They moved him to running back this spring. He entered the portal. Dejon Harrison and Kelvonte Dixon, the two receivers, moved to the portal. David Abiara, who is another edge guy potentially thins that room out a little bit, although it was clear watching him in spring, he wasn't ready for prime time this year for sure. And then Jordan Thomas, a guy that had only been in school, I think, one semester after signing with the previous year's class. Those six moves, none of those surprising to you really, right?
No, none of them were. It's just part of the natural selection. We call it roster Darwinism. You've got to make way for the new bodies that are going to come in June. If for those that don't know, you have to be under 85 in August. And then there's the factor of, you know, guys that can go out, you can replace in the portal. So it's there's always going to be a numbers game in college football. It's one of the most fun aspects for myself to follow. It's kind of like the general manager role. It's a tough job, but especially with players being compensated these days, that's going to be an increasing part of the deal, because the expectations are going to be higher.
You mentioned Jordan Addison going into the portal. It appears that the Biletnikoff winner from Pitt was almost lured into the portal.
Yeah. I mean, the reporting on that is wild. Was he even in the portal before everybody was speculating USC? And then it sounds like, oh crap, people should know it's USC. And then other names were being floated around. Very bizarre. Normally, the players in the portal first.
So, according to Pat Narduzzi, the coach for Pitt, where Jordan Addison currently attends school, called Lincoln Riley, the new head coach, previous head coach at OU, now at USC, and essentially, wanted to know if he or someone near him was tampering with a player on his roster. Addison, of course, was coached by Brennan Marion, the current wide receivers coach for the Longhorns last year, won the Biletnikoff at Pitt. And now all signs point to Addison most likely ending up at USC. However, if he puts his name in the portal, which we haven't seen for sure yet, he's probably just informed coaches. It's probably not officially in the portal yet. But if he's just informed coaches that he's going there, which is what it sounds like, there is a little bit of a time, a layover time, right, between actually telling people you're doing it and then the paperwork getting filed. It smells to me like tampering, but, you know, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, and I know it's happened with some players on Texas roster where, oh, well, you go, you know, if you enter your name, then we would be really interested in you.
Yeah.
I think that Texas is in a little bit different position than Pitt, in that Pitt probably not as NIL friendly as the Longhorns would be. So anybody tempting or trying to tempt the Texas players are going to, you know, I just don't see Bijan Robinson, for example, wanting to spend his final year somewhere else when he's ready to make much larger dollars in the NFL. Xavier Worthy comes to mind as a guy that could be that someone could try to lure. But long story short, it's a new day or a new dawn in college football. And I don't like if in fact a team was tampering with another guy while on campus, that's a different story. I mean, luring kids into the portal is a different element than maybe I think that even the NCAA, which has been totally inept over the last really 5 years, it's just a new dawn in college football that's got to be fixed at some level. I still want the kids to be paid what they want to be paid, but the rules have to be altered somehow to make that a possibility.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was happy that Texas, that Jordan Addison didn't go into the portal and follow Brennan Marion, man. It's just such a terrible look. And if when coaches get caught tampering, and we know it's happening more than it'll ever come out, I hear about it quite frequently. Those schools need to be hammered. They need to be made an example of. And I feel bad for Pat Narduzzi. That's got to be demoralizing. You know, that's your guy. That's your home run threat, gives you a chance going into just about any game you play. So people are going to lose their will. I mean, people aren't going to want to coach college football. You know, what's the point of moving unless you can already be at the top dog and be at the top of the food chain? You know, it's kind of funny. We're at Texas. We're covered Texas where, you know, they kind of are at the top of the food chain when it comes to these advantages that other schools don't. But hopefully the NCAA or the next governing body gets a better handle on this stuff, because it's unseemly.
Yeah, I think that some people need to get in front of this, and that's the problem with the NCAA. They've gotten behind all of it. I mean, they've just abdicated their power and made this into
the velocity of the whole atmosphere in college football has been crazy. So I mean, I'll hold them in higher blame if they don't start making corrections. They seem quite hapless and content to just let things unravel, but things did move fast, you know, just with players being able to get paid, that opened up a whole new door. And obviously it was going to lead to this, but they need to start taking a better look at it and put in some safeguards.
Yeah. The problem I have with them is, you know, this went into effect after the Supreme Court decision NIL did, I think in June or July, right, of this past year. Here's what I would say to that. I talked to two. I talked to two legal guys that are actually have sued the NCAA before and won. And they actually, one of them represented us when I was an executive at another company on behalf of it. And they knew the NCAA was going to lose this in the Supreme Court. They absolutely knew it. And I think the NCAA legal team knew it, and they still didn't do anything about it. They didn't prepare. And so that alone, in my opinion, tells me that they have they've kind of just you know, I've said it before, but the NCAA actually in the last 20-25 years has been nothing more than a basketball organization, because that's what they get paid for, is the basketball term. So all right, man. Hey, I appreciate your time. So it kind of sucks for the Longhorns today. O'Shawn Mathis goes to TCU, but you know, things go on, whether it's a three-man front or Baron Sorrell, Justice Finkley move up. Jamon Tapps coming in as well, we think. A young man from Louisiana that is signed with the Longhorns last, I guess, in December. Eric, thank you for joining us on this special edition. For Eric Nahlin, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been On Texas Football with InsideTexas.com. Thanks.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.